You know, recommendations can be great. Maybe someone recommended this podcast, and here you are. But home projects are different. If a podcast isn't your thing, you lose a few minutes. If you hire your cousin's neighbor to mount your TV, you might end up with a lopsided screen and wall damage. Maybe I know a guy just isn't enough for your home. That's why Thumbtack works. It matches you with top-rated local pros with photos, reviews, and credentials all in one place. For your next home project, try Thumbtack. Hire the right pro today.
This summer, I'm shopping the small space solutions that America waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has everything from retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, party-ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish and space-conscious Bobopedic sofas, to feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back all summer long. So, when you're ready to snag latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
I'm Vladimir Jutian. Welcome to CBS Mornings on the Go. Ahead on this Tuesday, August 4th, the story of survival. We'll talk to a 10-year-old boy rescued from dangerous currents at the beach. First, on CBS Mornings, he'll tell us what it was like. Plus, how to avoid another summer danger, getting too much sun. We'll ask a dermatologist how to soak up some rays without doing damage. We'll also talk to an etiquette expert about something which can be awkward to discuss among friends, money. A lot of people worry about saying the wrong thing. We'll help you avoid that. And here in studio, Tony winner Jordan Roth on acting on screen for the first time in Ryan Murphy's hotly anticipated new show, The Shards. All that and more ahead.
All right, we are going to begin this hour, though, with the crisis unfolding in Washington state, where three massive wildfires are burning uncontained. Now, more than 10,000 acres have burned, more than 700 homes and buildings, and now an arrest has been made. A man is accused of starting one of those fires. Chris Van Cleve is on the scene in Spokane. Chris, good morning. What do you see?
Well, good morning. Unfortunately, we see a lot of scenes like this one across parts of Spokane. Firefighters have gotten a break with the weather. That's hopefully allowing some progress in containing these blazes. But now we're learning at least one of them may have been intentionally set. And we learned that late Monday night from the Spokane County Sheriff, who said 37-year-old Aaron Fernacci, who was convicted of manslaughter for killing his father back in 2010, was arrested on suspicion of first-degree arson in connection to the Old Trails fire that's burned more than 3,600 acres here. The sheriff says they got a tip from a witness who said they saw a man bent over the side of the road. Investigators later determined that was the area where the fire started. Fire officials tell us more than 700 buildings in the Spokane area have been destroyed by the fire. Many of those are homes. Another 400 or so have yet to be assessed. The governor calls this a nightmare situation that is likely the worst natural disaster in Spokane history. Now, residents are starting to make their way home. Hundreds, unfortunately, are going to find scenes like this. Many more are likely to come home to homes that have smoke damage that will have to be repaired. But we have received no reports of deaths or major injuries so far, despite these three fires. Vlad?
Chris, with some incredible details. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Moving overseas, a terrifying drone attack brought the violence of war close to home for Russia. Russian officials say seven people were killed and dozens wounded when a drone hit a beach resort in Russian territory on Monday. Holly Williams is following that story from London. Holly, good morning.
Good morning, Vlad. The drone hit a busy beach in southern Russia on the Black Sea coast, packed with people. The Russian governor of that region accused Ukraine of a, quote, deliberate strike on civilians. Now, CBS News has confirmed that a drone did hit that location, but we cannot confirm whether the drone was in fact Ukrainian. There's been speculation online by some Ukrainians that the beach was not the target, but that the drone crashed there after electronic jamming. Once again, we cannot confirm that, but electronic warfare is widely used to down drones by both sides in the Russia-Ukraine war. In recent months, Ukraine has been piling pressure on Russia with long-range drone strikes hitting economic targets deep inside Russian territory, including oil facilities and even warehouses used by online retailers. Nichelle.
All right, Holly, thank you so much. This morning, we have learned that two people have now died in that nationwide foodborne illness outbreak. This happened in Michigan, which has been especially hard hit. More than 18,000 cases of illness have been reported in 45 states. Carter Evans has the very latest.
The Michigan Department of Health is now confirming two people have died from this summer's unprecedented cyclosporiasis outbreak. But former FDA Associate Commissioner Peter Pitts says those deaths aren't necessarily cause for immediate concern.
A lot of the adverse events that we're learning about now, including the few deaths that could have happened months ago, it's very unlikely that we're hearing about a more severe later outbreak.
The Michigan Department of Health said both people who died, quote, had significant underlying health conditions that may have been impacted by cyclosporiasis and dehydration.
If a person is older or immunocompromised or some other, you know, pre-existing condition, that would make a more serious adverse event likely.
Cyclosporiasis is caused by a parasite found on contaminated fresh fruits and vegetables. It can cause severe gastrointestinal illness that lasts weeks. The FDA investigation pointed to iceberg lettuce grown by Taylor Farms in Mexico. The company says it's removed all of the suspected lettuce from store shelves.
I think people can feel pretty safe that the produce on the shelves right now are safe from the problem.
But Pitts does take precautions.
Wash everything you eat, all fruits and vegetables, always. It's best practice, especially now.
Now, the CDC confirms about 7,000 cases so far, but at least 11,000 more are suspected. And the reason it takes so long to confirm is each sample has to be examined under a microscope by a person who can visually identify the parasite. Kelly?
All right, Carter, thank you so much. It's time for a look at the stories that caught our eye. With us now is the one, the only, the favorite person to spend my Saturday with, Adriana Diaz.
Thank you, soul sister. So happy to be with you guys for Caught Our Eye. We begin with a much anticipated White House announcement on AI. The Trump administration says it has created a framework for evaluating AI models for safety, but we don't know what the framework is yet. There is a meeting planned with tech leaders today, but this is all behind closed doors, and any changes would be voluntary. This comes as AI companies warn their products may not be easily contained. And remember, OpenAI and Anthropic's models have both recently hacked into outside companies. That's not a movie script, that's real life. All right, so speaking of AI, Texas is halting all new data center approvals. Data centers are those massive facilities needed to keep AI systems running. Governor Greg Abbott ordered an audit of new data center projects. Abbott said in a statement, approximately 90% of new power requests are from these centers. These things need a ton of power, so the goal is to protect Texas's energy grid from becoming overloaded. You might remember those deadly 2021 Texas snowstorms that caused the worst energy infrastructure failure in state history. That storm left millions of people without power, water, food, and heat for days. So they want to make sure that the energy grid is okay. And next up, take a look at this dramatic emergency landing on a busy highway on Monday, captured by a truck driver's dash cam. This happened in Pensacola, Florida. The plane was carrying a flight instructor and a student. CBS News has learned it was the instructor, Emily Shelton, who's just 21 years old, who made that incredible maneuver. The FAA says it will investigate what was behind the emergency landing. And finally, it might be the dead of summer, but many people are way too excited for fall, including the folks who run Starbucks. The company announced when its pumpkin spice latte will return to menus.
Oh, no.
Wait
Come
for
on.
It. Come on.
You can
read the teleprompter, guys. When is it coming?
August 25th.
August 25th. August 25th.
It's
yes.
Summer.
You heard that right. In just 3 weeks, you can start tasting the flavors of fall with a PSL. And this raises the annual question, how soon is too soon for bringing out the fall flavors and the decor?
Never too soon.
What? Don't be killjoys. This is fun.
No, keep your skeletons in your closet.
Oh,
like, I don't want to see the Halloween
decorations.
I'll bring
it's
you one on Saturday.
Funny. Totally troll her.
Well, I'm tapping out because I've never even had a cup of coffee in my life, so
Wait,
I wouldn't
wow.
know anything about a pumpkin spice.
Yeah, you're drinking
it's
water.
Just water.
It's water.
Just plain
no
water.
No vices?
Adriana's judging me.
You got to have some vices if you want to work on this show.
Michelle. I've got a couple. It's just not coffee.
Okay.
All right. Adriana, thank you so much. Thank you. Now, we want to take you back to a teenage lifeguard's heroic beach rescue of a boy struggling in a rip current. This happened off Santa Cruz, California, late last month. The 16-year-old got help from others who jumped in to help pull the boy to safety. That boy was 10-year-old Nathaniel Rye. First on CBS Mornings, Nathaniel joins us now with his dad, Sumit. Good morning, you guys. Nathaniel, I just want to ask you first and foremost, how you feeling?
Good.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear. Have you ever, when you were going through that, what was going through your mind at the time when those waves pulled you into the surf?
Before the lifeguard came, I thought I was gonna die. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Nathaniel. Have you ever seen waves that big?
Only on, the internet.
Yeah. Yeah, and it seems like it just came up all of a sudden to you. Is that what happened? Was it just you were having a little fun and all of a sudden those waves just hit you and you lost control?
I was on, the shore and it, pulled me in.
So, Sumit, let me ask you, your son made it out of these waters because of the heroic bravery of 16-year-old Ryder Williams. He's only 16. He was holding on to your son for dear life. You got to speak with him and his father. What did he tell you?
You know, first, I wanted to express my gratitude to him for saving Nathaniel's life. I mean, absent Ryder, Nathaniel wouldn't be sitting here next to me today. He was a second or two away from dying. With those rip currents, you'll get thrown 15, 20 feet away, deeper into the sea, at which point you can't see him, let alone, you know, retrieve or rescue him. We talked about how Ryder was holding on to him, and, you know, Ryder knew that if he lets go, Nathaniel's going to drown. And we talked about it some length. And so the resilience that he showed to hold him through those rip currents, that water pressure, those torrential waves, you know, and be able to withstand that. Because at that point, Nathaniel was already unconscious. He had gone limp. He wasn't breathing. And, you know, it's basically dead weight and he's about 100 pounds. So, you know, it's an incredible physical feat, not just a mental feat and a feat of courage and bravery. I mean, he just did everything he was supposed to do to save his life and put himself at risk to do so.
Yeah, well said, Sumit.
I mean, I'm forever grateful to him.
It's incredible what Ryder was able to do. And Nathaniel, you got an opportunity to speak to Ryder after that experience. What did he tell you? Yeah. What was that like?
Well, he likes the same things as me and my dad, like UFC.
You guys like UFC? Yeah, what else did he tell you?
Yeah. He said that he's glad he saved my life. Mm. And he's thankful for all the other lifeguards that saved lives too.
Mm. Nathaniel, let me ask you, when you were approaching the ocean that day, what did it look like to you? Did it look like it was rough sea, or were you just thinking that you're just going to go out into just a couple of feet of water and just splash around? What were you doing?
I was on the shore and I asked Anna if I could, if we could leave because the waves are too big. Mm. And she told me that I should swim in the water, but I didn't want to because the waves are really big. So I just stayed on the shore.
Hmm. And how did you find yourself in the water?
I tripped and then I got pulled.
Sumit, just wanted to ask you, because I know there's a lot of gratitude going on in your household right now. What is your message to everyone that jumped into action to save your son?
Incredibly and forever grateful. I mean, you know, Ryder obviously showed leadership in that effort and being the first one to respond and leading the rescue. Aaron, the other lifeguard, also jumped in to help pull them out because the current was so strong. And then you had 10 Good Samaritans that jumped in to try to help. And so I appreciate each and every one of them incredibly so because, you know, it took that effort to bring them out and keep them alive. And I'm just so grateful to have my son with me. Yeah, I can't imagine what life would look like had Ryder not been there.
Yeah, when you see that video, it is truly exemplifies the best of humanity jumping in. Sumeet, Ryan, Nathaniel, thank you so much. I know it was a really scary experience, but we so appreciate you spending time with us today.
I'm super thankful for him saving my life.
Nathaniel, we are thankful too. It could have been a really different outcome, but we are so glad that he saved your life too. Thank you both so much.
Ariana Grande has more to say about her plans to take a break from public life. One day after announcing she'll step back from the spotlight after her tour ends September 1st, Grande spoke directly to fans at last night's show in Chicago. Check it out.
So basically, the announcement that was made yesterday was not a reactive or impulsive thing. It is something that I had decided. It's a plan that I had quietly made a long time ago. And it's a decision that was made from a thoughtful and empowered place.
Grande also told the crowd, quote, I heard my fans were worried about the negativity was ruining things for me. That could not be more opposite. I mean, look, she says it was planned way before. I'm happy that she's taken some break because I think we can all use a break from the internet and from social media.
Yeah. One thing you have to say about her, she does tackle things head on. When she hears the rumblings on social media, she'll say something about it. Yeah.
All right, ahead, group vacations, they can be fun, but not if you're the one who gets stuck with the bill, all right? We're going to share tips on talking money with your friends and making sure everyone pays their fair share.
If you can make a dish, you can make a signature recipe and showcase it on your beautiful website that you built with Squarespace. And if you can make a stitch, you can make an outfit and put it on your online store that you built with Squarespace. And if you can hit the pose, you can teach the class that they can book on your site that you built with Squarespace. Because whatever your business, you can build it at squarespace.com. Use offer code EMPIRE for 10% off your website or domain.
At Great Wolf Lodge, there's adventure for the whole family. You and your pack can splash away in the indoor water park, where it's always 84 degrees. There's a massive wave pool, a lazy river, and tons of water slides for your pack to enjoy together. And the fun doesn't stop there. Get ready to explore and play at adventure-packed attractions from Magi Quest, a live-action game that takes place throughout the lodge to the Northern Lights Arcade. There's also a bunch of great dining options and complimentary daily events, like nightly dance parties, all under one roof. And the best part? With 22 lodges across the country, you're always only a short drive away from adventure. So bring your pack together at a lodge near you. Book your stay today at greatwolf.com and strengthen the pack.
In this morning's Health Watch, summer is a time for fun in the sun, but if you're not careful, you could get burned. So how can you protect yourself and what can you do if you catch a few too many rays? Here to help us out is Dr. Elizabeth Hale. She's a clinical associate professor of dermatology at NYU Grossman School of Medicine. Good morning, Dr.
Elizabeth.
Good morning.
Nice to see you all.
Now, listen, I'm a less is more. Yeah, less is more kind of girl. Perimenopausal brain, it happens. But we know summer can be really rough on our skin, right? So is there a summertime skin routine that we need? Like, what should we add? What should we take away during the summer?
So the most important thing is daily broad spectrum sunscreen, SPF 30 or higher, because we know that that's the best ways of minimizing our chances for skin cancer, as well as premature skin aging.
Right.
I also like to recommend an antioxidant serum. So I'll apply that every morning underneath my sunscreen because that helps to neutralize free radicals from things like sun exposure and pollution and toxins in the environment.
Okay. Mm.
So despite our best efforts, sunburns still occasionally happen. What should you do if you are sunburned? Because it's not always clear. You hear, rub some aloe vera on it. Then you hear, there's a lot of stuff out there on the internet. So what should people be thinking about?
So the best thing, of course, is to prevent the sunburn in the first place, because we know that having sunburns early in life increase your risk for melanoma later in life and for the other skin cancers as well. So having five or more sunburns doubles your chance for melanoma, according to the Skin Cancer Foundation. And blistering sunburns can be more dangerous. So first of all, prevent the sunburn in the first place. If you do get that sunburn, which we see this time of year, first, get out of the sun, of course, into a cool environment. You do want to cool down your skin, but don't apply ice because that can actually burn your skin further.
Huh.
So cool water,
I know that.
Cool shower.
Yeah.
And while your skin is still damp, you should moisturize with something containing aloe vera, maybe take an ibuprofen or another NSAID. And then you want to moisturize well because that helps your skin to repair.
But doctor, when we say sunburn, how do we know we've, because some people say, I just have a rosy glow and it's not really a sunburn. Is it a sunburn if you're red?
Well, and when it's hot outside, you increase blood flow to the face so you can get that rosy glow. But in reality, sunburns are the first sign when your skin starts to turn pink and hot. And that can be a sign of DNA damage occurring under the skin.
So look, a lot of us have years of sun exposure. I went to the dermatologist the other day and she goes, good. Oh, look, we've got some sun damage. And I was like, oh, okay, hey, that's really? Great. That's not amazing, right? You know, no makeup on.
Yeah.
But is there something that can be done for those of us that have already had the damage in order to try and make it look better?
Definitely. So great. First of all,
okay, I was scared where she was going with this.
Not too late. So it's important to realize it's really an ongoing process. So most of the damage continues to happen throughout life. So it's not too late to start protecting yourself every day. But there are some products and procedures that can help. There are some moisturizers that contain DNA repair. And that's actually really helpful because that can help repair the mutations at the cellular level. Hmm. And then there are some procedures that you can have done in the dermatologist to reverse some of the damage.
You know what? I got a little sunburn on my scalp the other day. I was playing golf. And when I came home, I was like, ooh, that's tender. It hurts. I'm like, oh, my scalp got sunburned.
Yeah.
That's a common area that people forget about. So in addition to broad spectrum sunscreen, wearing a hat, long sleeve clothing, staying in the shade when possible and avoiding those peak hours, very important.
And just don't play bad golf.
Yeah, that's fair. Dr. Hill, thank you so much. Excellent tips.
Thank you for having me. Nice to see you all.
No way you are paying that bill. It has been out there forever. He hasn't even pretended to reach for his wallet.
This is torture, Claire. I'll pay anything to end it.
Stay strong.
Weak. You married a weak man.
Give it to me. Give it. Phil. No. Walter. Walter. Walter.
All right, I'm going to out myself. I'm a Claire, as Modern Family shows us. Nothing can ruin a fun dinner faster than the arrival of the check. Fronting the bill for family or friends, it can be costly. Well, a new report from Zelle found 76% of Gen Z has fronted money for a group expense and was never fully repaid. Nearly half say they've gone into debt to cover that shared bill. So how do you approach the topic of money with your friends? Elaine Swan is an etiquette expert and author of Elaine Swan's Book of Modern Etiquette, and she is here to guide us through these awkward conversations. Thank you so much
good
for joining
morning.
Us.
It is my absolute pleasure to settle this score here.
Oh, okay.
Good. We're settling the bill.
Yes, right.
We have been talking about this all morning. So let's start broad. I mean, you go on a group outing and that check comes. What is the best way to share expenses?
The best way to share expenses is to really just set your standard in advance. You know, figure out who's going to do what, who's going to pay what. Mm-hmm. This is the thing about it. When you think about it from a generational perspective, you know, the older generation, we were taught not to talk. Well, not we. They were taught to talk, not to talk about money, right? Don't talk about it. But we have to talk about money.
Right.
And that's what takes the awkwardness out of it. So it's the social thing. So figure out who's paying what. Are we going to split the bill? It's a quick conversation, a quick question that can take place before the bill even comes. What are we doing? Half and half? Da-da-da. Are we paying for our own? What do y'all want to do? And once that's settled, then you can go ahead and enjoy the rest of your meal.
I find it incredible. I am Phil in that scenario. And
okay,
my
Claire.
Wife is absolutely
Claire.
Claire. Because I don't like confrontations. I don't like people to feel uncomfortable. I like making people feel at ease. So I'm the first one to be like, bam! And she'll be like, we have a child now, you know? And so how do you like not feel as if you're obligated to pay when you're in a group situation?
Don't pay. Just wait, really. Don't pay. Just wait. See, and there we go. It's you that feels uncomfortable because you're feeling like, okay, let me make sure everyone's okay, but really give it a moment. You know, we're eating out, it's fellowship, we're enjoying ourselves, that bill comes. Yes, it's there. Give people the moment to kind of figure it out and then say, should we go ahead and settle the bill? And if you don't want to pay the whole thing and your wife is going to get on you later, then say it out loud. Hey, folks, let's take a look at this. Mm-hmm. So this way everyone's involved. So you can bring everyone into the conversation about the bill in that moment.
But Elaine, there is nothing that burns me up more than when a bill comes and you are get it and itemize and wait a
oh,
minute.
No,
yeah, I
so,
had the money.
No.
You had.
Yeah, don't
There's
do that.
There's nothing that burns like, me up more.
Don't do that. Right? And so that's why the question is, how do you all want to do it? What do you want to do? Do you want to just, it looks like this. There's six of us. Whoever's quick in the group.
Right.
Figure that out really quickly without bringing out your phone and atomizing.
Okay, what happens? We talked about if someone owes you money, but what happens if you owe someone money? How do you approach that? If you can't pay it back and you know you're struggling, what do you say? What do you do?
You tell the truth. This is where it's so important. The three core values of etiquette is respect, honesty, and consideration. And in this instance, honesty is so important. So you just say, hey, listen, I know I owe you money, but I don't have it just yet. Here's when I will have it. And that's it. And then keep your word. Don't overextend yourself, but just be honest with the person.
And on my side, I don't loan money. I just give it.
Because
that always
never
causes
expect
problems.
It back. Yeah.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
But what if we've done the thing where, okay, you know, I'll get it, just pay me back. And now you're in the situation where, like, you've sent the Venmo request and no one's saying anything and, like, you sent the text. How do you navigate that very awkward, like, hey, you owe me some money?
The way you navigate it when someone owes you money is to not tell them that they owe you, but ask them when are they going to pay you.
Yeah.
That's the key. You want to ask a question that needs to be answered. So your question is, when do you think you'll give me back the $50, or what time frame do you think is great? So that this way they have to give you some answer instead of just saying, hey, don't forget you owe me money. Okay, I won't forget. Ask the question.
So Elaine, real quickly before we go, we're gonna do a speed round.
Yes.
Ready? Is it rude to Venmo request someone $4?
Don't request $4.
Split evenly or pay for what you order. That was our earlier discussion.
Yeah, try to just split evenly is a great approach. However, if you got the appetizer, the entree, all that stuff, then you know.
Pay but what for if you didn't eat the appetizer?
If you didn't eat the appetizer, just throw
not
a little
18.
Bit in and keep the peace.
Elaine Spahn with those great tips on etiquette. Thank you very much.
It was my pleasure.
Appreciate it. Still ahead, award-winning Broadway producer Jordan Roth is here. Stick around.
Matching outfits, extravagant birthdays, many nicknames, a few classic moves of a dog-obsessed parent. At Ollie, they're obsessed with how obsessed you are with your pup, which is why they obsess over giving your dog the best. Ollie's fresh, human-grade recipes are developed by real chefs and backed by vet nutritionists. The meals are perfectly portioned and come with a puptainer and scoop for easy storing and mess-free serving, delivering the best experience for you and your pup. And through the Ollie app, you can actually check in on your dog's health with real vets. By uploading a picture, their team can check your dog's weight, digestion, teeth, and coat. They'll then provide next steps on how to keep them thriving. And because they're just as obsessed as you are, there's zero judgment if you check in every day. You could say Ollie feeds the obsession. Go to ollie.com/firstbox and use code FIRSTBOX to get 70% off your welcome kit. Ollie, feed the obsession.
The first few weeks back at school set the tone for the entire year. But with new teachers, schedules, and expectations, it can feel like a lot. If you're looking to help your child start strong and stay confident, I've been using IXL to make that transition so much easier. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, it adapts to each child's level and pace, making it easy to spot and close learning gaps in just a few minutes a day before those gaps can snowball. Plus, it's trusted nationwide. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL, and it's used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. It's an easy, cost-effective way to get kids back into a learning routine and walking into class feeling ready and reassured. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off an IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Oh boy.
I mean, 70.
Oh,
so, welcome back to CBS Mornings. Barry White is setting the mood for this talk of the table because, like he says in that song, too much of a thing.
What is happening?
Anything is not good for you, baby.
Oh, my God.
Because my talk of the table is a new ranking of America's friskiest states in the bedroom.
Of course.
All right.
Of course you'd go there.
This is according to a survey by a contraceptive company. Are you ready for the top five most adventurous, friskiest states in America?
Hit us
they
with
are
it.
North Dakota.
Uh-huh.
Coming in at number five. Vermont.
Okay.
Arkansas. Oregon. And are you ready for the number one most adventurous state?
Yep.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
New Mexico. Yes, ooh. I know. Who,
Albuquerque, who what y'all doing? Hey.
Residents had more than 10,000 racy Google searches per 1,000 people and more than 6 trips to an adult store each month per 1 million people. Guess where New York ranked in? 21.
Oh, really?
That better. We are not that frisky. But where do you think, who do you think is the last state on the list? The least adventurous, least
adventurous.
Frisky state in America.
Pennsylvania,
somebody
tell me.
Okay.
I'm going to say Missouri because that's where I'm from.
Okay. So you know they're not getting busy in Missouri.
Como.
Pennsylvania? Yeah.
Pennsylvania? Nope. Yeah. The least friskiest state is the Lone Star State.
Texas?
Texas. I know. Texas.
That's surprising.
And rounding out the bottom five, Florida, Tennessee, Georgia, and Mississippi.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All
there
right.
There you go. There you go, America.
Come on,
welcome.
Texas. Let's be more sex positive. Come on. Have some fun.
Southern gentlemen just,
Okay, guys. For my talk at the table, I want to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time you had a place to just hang out? Okay.
Like you mean a man cave?
Right? Or? Well, no, like you go somewhere and you just hang out.
Oh.
Yeah.
And so I was asking myself, I was like, okay, I'm actually having a hard time remembering. It's because we are seeing the disappearance of something we need in our communities, a place to hang out. And there's data to back this up. So the Bureau of Labor Statistics shows that since 1990, the U.S. has lost 1/5 of its movie theaters. In the last 5 years, 1/3 of bowling alleys were lost.
I used to go to the bowling
Me
alley
too.
All the time.
Me and my dad all the time.
Yes.
Between 2019 and 2021, places like coffee shops, libraries, museums, recreation centers, and restaurants closed all over, mostly due to the high cost of renting them. Mm. So we talk a lot about the loneliness epidemic, but I think maybe it's more about there aren't these spaces to connect. Like I used to go to the Borders.
I used to go to the library.
That's of course, we talked about
that. Like what's the place you miss most?
I do, well, look, it's a little hard to say because in New York City, we do have a plethora of those things that exist. So, but I realized that when I was growing up in the suburbs, the place that I loved to go was a library. Anytime I had a question, my mom would say, you got a question about that? Off to the library we go. And when I got a little older, like Walden Books and Barnes & Noble,
Barnes and
I would
Noble.
Hang out in Barnes & Noble all day long, every day. What about you?
Yeah, I think the bookstore.
Yeah,
I still go to the bookstore. Yeah, the library, places like that. But bowling alley. My mother was a bowler. She was in a bowling league, so we used to hang tight at the bowling alley. That was the most fun. Play the arcade games while they were all bowling.
Arcades. Yes. Oh my gosh.
Alley Cat Lane in Kingston, Mass. What do you got, Michelle?
What you got?
Okay, so they tell you when you're a new mom that you got to get your sleep whenever you can, right? So my talk of the table is about a television anchor caught last week doing this.
Miles in a matter of days to make all of this happen.
Okay, Sleeping Beauty over here. It is time for Sunshine Snap.
Oh, that baby was tired. That is Dominique Dillon during a live broadcast of Good Morning Memphis. Dillon returned from maternity leave only a few months ago. So once the show was over, her co-anchor Ernie Freeman joked that it was just a little time for her little nap.
Oh, my God.
And then she made a post. She took it all in stride. She made a post quoting Arnold Schwarzenegger, writing, every morning you have two choices. Continue to sleep with your dreams or wake up and chase them.
Oh, I love that.
My reaction is, hey, you know, we normalize, like, oh, you're exhausted. Exhausted. Maybe we should have jobs with a little bit more flexibility.
100%. And being a new parent, I mean, I know what that's like. Especially having a job like this one, where you already have to be up early, but let's say you're up all night because you've got a little baby.
Yeah.
She needs to be fed every 3 hours, and you're there with mom taking care of business. It's hard. So I sympathize.
Well, I don't have any kids, and that's happened to me, too. I was a news anchor in New Orleans. We were on storm coverage, and they went away for a minute and came back, and I was like...
All right. Shout out to Dominique Dillon.
Tell you something you're not going to be sleeping in, okay?
Oh,
because a new Paramount Plus docuseries takes viewers inside some of the U.S. military's most daring and important missions. Special Ops True, produced by See It Now Studios, there's the untold stories behind everything from the mission to kill Osama bin Laden.
Wow.
Capturing Panama's Noriega and Black Hawk Down in Somalia features exclusive footage and firsthand accounts from the men and women who risked everything to carry them out.
We're about to go kill Osama bin Laden. What went through your head?
This is some serious Navy SEAL. Gunfight as soon as we get in. His son Khalid bin Laden was there on the stairwell.
It did look like a one-way ticket.
Yes.
Go, 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 go!
We could feel our odds of surviving going down.
We were in Somalia to capture the most powerful warlord.
There's just way too many of them and way too few of us.
And then, bang.
We got Black on the contract!
We are expecting 80% casualties.
There's a 19-year-old kid who's being wounded multiple times, refused to give his gun up to this day, and is one of my heroes.
Our rescue force is en route, but that's just two guys. We're in big trouble. But if this can be accomplished, they will be the ones who can accomplish it.
Gentlemen, you do this every night. This is just a bigger audience.
That's conflict area. They find out who you are, they might kill you.
Don't underestimate the enemy.
And Special Ops True is streaming now on Paramount Plus, which, like CBS, is part of Paramount Skydance.
Our next guest has spent decades behind the scenes on Broadway. Now he's taking a turn in front of the camera. Seven-time Tony Award-winning producer Jordan Roth is making his major on-screen acting debut in the new FX show, The Shards. Set in Los Angeles in 1981, it follows privileged high schoolers navigating friendship and coming of age while a serial killer terrorizes the city. Jordan. Good morning.
Good morning, friends.
Yes, we set the stage. Okay, I want to jump right in because your character, Steven, we were talking before, if you're a fan of the books, Steven's a blip in the books, but not in the series.
Not anymore.
Not in the series.
Not anymore.
No, indeed. And we don't know. Can we trust Steven? Because Steven is described as an underestimated presence who traffics in secrets, favors, and quiet acts of manipulation.
He sure does.
Yes, indeed. Tell us all about him.
So Steven is, as you said, he's this sort of enigmatic figure, but he really, at his heart, he is an artist. He is a human who has something in him that he just knows if anybody could see it, wow, what would come out of me.
Yeah.
And the fact that that keeps getting underestimated and thwarted is where the rage comes.
Is the
and where the skullduggery comes.
There you
That's
go.
That's the thing.
Is the inspiration Bowie, the look?
The inspiration is David Sylvian.
Okay.
Okay.
You're close with Bowie because I started with The Man Who Fell to Earth, the red and the yellow, right? But then we got to David Sylvian, the lead singer of the band Japan in the late 70s. And he was the inspiration for that hair.
Come on.
And it's really because Ryan, when he called me to do this part, Ryan Murphy, of course.
Yes.
Called me to do this part and he said he imagines that Steven is looking to the runways of Europe. He's looking to London. He's looking to the music scene. And this was before Instagram and the internet when references were easy.
Right.
So the devotees were the ones who were really looking. And he was scouring and finding his references and creating himself through it.
Wow. So let's show a clip because I think people need to just see all of that.
You just need to
about.
See. Just you
check,
just need
check
to
this
see.
Clip out. Very cool.
Well, I'll leave you to it. One more thing, though. I would be careful, right? Pardon me? Everyone has an agenda. Sometimes these agendas don't connect with what we actually want or what we're gonna get.
So what I wanted to show that scene is just how delicious your acting chops are. Because people will know that you are one of the most successful Broadway producers in Broadway history. We're talking Hadestown, we're talking Kinky Boots, Moulin Rouge. So what's it like stepping in front of the camera?
Literally, I had the time of my life.
Oh, yay.
I shot the very first take of the very first scene, and I thought, oh.
This is where I belong.
The camera loves me.
And I'm like, Ryan Murphy has created a monster. He knows this.
He tapped into this monster.
But really, no, it was using everything I have done in my theater life, everything I have done in my fashion life. Mm-hmm. And this really is what I always thought I would be doing. I trained as an actor. I prepared my whole world was to be an actor as a young person, and producing sort of took me in this direction, and now it's taken me
full circle
yes. back.
Wow. No,
it's been just incredible. The most extraordinarily moving and deeply meaningful experience.
Yeah. You mentioned the fashion, obviously, which we see right now in front of us on
screen.
Here it is. But this is also just a big part of who you are, you know, as a producer, as an actor, as a figure in this entertainment industry. Where does that come from?
You know, fashion has always been a vocabulary for me. It's always been a way to express myself to you, but also a way to express myself to myself. It's a way out and a way in. And that has really informed all of my work in fashion and also my work now in acting, because that is what we are doing. We are finding the parts of ourselves that these characters spark and bringing that to life.
In a word, can we trust Steven? Ooh, a look! Not even a word. A look.
Jordan Roth, thank you very much. The Sharks premieres tomorrow on FX and FX on Hulu. That does it for us, folks. See you tomorrow.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's Keenan.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
The critically acclaimed series, Colin from Accounts, returns for a brand new season.
But what is it?
We're friends.
We are togetherly.
We're friendly together.
With a dog.
Colin from Accounts, new season, streaming September 10th, only on Paramount+.